did. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Well, if you have your Bibles today, you can open up to Mark 4:24. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 23, but we're carrying on with our tithes and offering, knowing the ABCs of tithing. And if you didn't get it, there's a paper in the back that has the first part, because we ran out of room. We couldn't keep going. The screen isn't long enough. But we are on number L, or letter L, and it is listen to the right things. And in Mark 4:24, it says this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Does anybody have ears this morning? Then you need to hear. He went on to say, pay attention to what you hear. Now, who's talking here? Is it just anybody? No, it's Jesus. Jesus is talking here. So Jesus went on to say, pay attention to what you hear. Let me say that again. Pay attention to what you hear. That word hear in the Greek also means listen. So pay attention to what you are listening to. It can be another translation. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more will be added to you. How many people want more? I want more. I want more wisdom. I want more understanding of the scripture. I want more knowledge. I don't want to stop learning. If you reach the point where you feel like you know everything, that's a scary place to be. It's a super scary place to be. We should remain teachable. We should be like sponges. We don't want to dry up and lose our ability to absorb. We want to stay soft before the Lord. And that means it starts with our ears. Amen? And he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more will be added to you. Verse 25, for whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Again, do you want more, or do you want what you have to be taken away from you? I don't want to go backwards. Amen? We want to keep moving forward, but that means, verse 24, he said, pay attention to what you hear or what you listen to. Now, this is so important when it comes to tithing, because there are a lot of people out there that do not believe tithing is part of the new covenant. I'm just going to be honest. We've told you before that the percentage of Christians worldwide that give, just the Christian church that give, has dropped again. It's like 3.9. And we're wondering why we can't do the things that God wants us to do. If everyone would just be faithful with their tithe, can you imagine if all the churches had everyone like here at this church where they gave and you had 99% of your people giving? 99, that's a 96% increase in every church in America, besides here, because you guys are amazing givers. But 96% are not giving. 96% are not listening to the right things. And you know what that means? That means 96% aren't walking in the blessing. Because we know when you bring your tithe into the storehouse, what did God say? He's going to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain, is what it tells us in Malachi. That's listening to the right voices. The wrong voices are going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Just give whatever God puts on your heart. Absolutely. If God puts an offering on your heart, you give that. But there is a reason why that tithing isn't talked about as much in the New Testament, and that is because Jesus was speaking to Jewish people. They already knew about the tithe. They already knew about the tithe. They understood that concept. That wasn't even something he had to go over with them. So to say that that's not part of the new, no. Jesus was a fulfillment of that, right? So when you give your tithes, you are part of that fulfillment that he has for us today. And there is a blessing. Say blessing. There is a blessing that comes when you tithe. And what does that do? He rebukes the devourer on your behalf. We've gone through a lot of different scriptures on this in the past. But he takes that 90% and he shields it. And how many people in here know, I know from talking to you, most of you, that 90% a lot of times goes farther than the 100% ever would have. Amen? He makes that 90% go above and beyond so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. That is the ultimate. So we have to be careful what we are listening to. That means if you have a friend that is always talking negative about tithing, it might be time to stand up and say, you know what, girl? I love you, but you're wrong. I'm going to keep tithing, and we're just going to have to agree to disagree, but I'm going to pray that God opens your eyes so that you can see what you're missing out on. We don't have to come down on them. We can encourage them, but we need to take a stand in what we are listening to. Amen? If you ever hear Steve and I ever say, stop tithing, that needs to be ears perk up. Oh, wait a minute here. No, I don't think so. Right? That's why you should be taking the things that you're taught, whether it's from us or somebody else, and you should go to the Word of God and say, is this true? Amen? Amen? You should be finding out, is it true? But I know you guys, again, you're amazing givers and you're amazing Bible readers. So I know you guys are checking up on things and you're making sure that it's the correct voice that's coming out. And the thing is this, if you are listening to the right things, then you're going to understand that the Word of God is true and God is not a liar. He never changes. If he said it in the Old Testament, he meant it in the New Testament, and he's still doing it today. And guess what? He'll still be doing it tomorrow. So your seed, when you plant a seed, we've talked about this before as well. When you listen to the voice of God and you plant your tithe, when you put your tithe in the basket, it doesn't just end right there, does it? Because are we seed gatherers? No, we are orchard tenders. Amen. When you put your seed in the ground, we learned this a couple weeks ago. When you put your seed in the ground, it doesn't rise up one seed. That's not what you get. You put an apple seed in the ground, it grows up into a tree, and it has fruit. And inside of every one of those apples, there is multiple seeds. Amen. That's what you want to be listening to, the truth. And that's what we're going to teach you here, is the truth. You need to be careful. Guard your ears. Because what does it say? It says that if you don't, then even what you have will be taken away from you. Even the knowledge that you've gained will be taken away from you. I've often looked at that scripture and thought, how could that possibly be? Until I got older and there were people in my life that I watched walk away from the goodness of God. And you're thinking, we all listen to the same thing. We all heard the same truth. How come that is not a truth in your life anymore? Because of what they're listening to now. Do you see how important this is? I remember when I was a kid, and we used to go down to the Sandy River in Oregon when we lived in Oregon growing up. And I'll tell you what, the Sandy River has a current. And if you're not paddling upstream, it's going to take you downstream, whether you want to go or not. Amen? And that's the way life is. Some people say, well, I'm just cruising along. No, you're really not cruising along. You're not on cruise control. You're going a direction. And it's either forward or backward. That's what this word is today. So if you are listening to the truth, you are going to keep going forward in the Lord. And what does he say? I love this part. And even more will be added to you. You will gain more and more wisdom and understanding about how to apply this in your life. Aren't you so glad for God? He is so good. If you will stay moldable and teachable, he will continue to pour new truths into your life day after day after day that will cause you to be more and more and more blessed. Amen? So are you ready to give your tithes and offerings this morning? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Let's grab them. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. We are going to choose to listen to what is right. That means things that are lined up according to your word. That's what we choose to listen to today. We choose to put our focus on your word and your word alone, Father. We don't trust in tradition. We don't trust in religion. We trust in you today. And your word tells us, Father, that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, that you are our great shepherd, Father, and that you will provide every need that we have. You will lead us and guide us into the places, Father, where we will flourish, where we will be blessed, to be a blessing. We are part of Abraham's seed, and that is our job, is to be able to be blessed, to be a blessing to the nations. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you today that every seed that is sown is anointed and is bringing forth a harvest in Jesus' name. And Father, these things that we have been learning about tithing, give us opportunities to share them with others. Help us to shine the light into someone else's lives, Father, so that they can be blessed as well. I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for ears to hear and eyes to see the truth in your word, that we will listen to that and we will do it. And we praise you for these things today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Just give God a great big shout this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the giving time is one of the greatest times to just rejoice in the kingdom of God. Amen. Your giving is making a difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Shelley was sharing about the percentage of the church at large that tithes and gives, all that is teaching. That's why we carve out a portion of every week to teach about that, right? We don't back into it, crawfish into it like shame, right? And in our church, you know, we're not a part of a denomination, so to speak. We're not anti-denomination, but I was raised Foursquare. Shelley was raised Assemblies of God. This church, when we first started, we were in a Catholic high school. When I went to college down at Azusa, I went to a Methodist church because it was right across the street. And I could, you know, so God's got a great big family, right? But we teach the word what it says in regards to finances and so forth. Giving with a purpose. We shouldn't just be giving religiously either. Amen? There was one time we were with this Catholic high school for a while, and you can tell some of those guys are successful business people. And I could see it on one guy. And I said, you know what, brother? Don't ever let anybody shame you about the blessing of God that's on your life. And he said, you know what? That's right. That's right. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. So God is building his kingdom right here on this planet, and he does it with people. The devil's trying to build his kingdom, and he's doing it with people. And God is building his kingdom, and we know who wins. I visited with one of my business connections out in Portland. He's an Air Force guy. And he's at his house by himself on his laptop and Zoom meetings all day, and he may know things that I don't want to know, right? But I was there doing the service for him a couple weeks ago, and I just thanked him. And he always seems, he's an African-American guy, young guy, probably in his 30s, and he always just seems so positive. So you just kind of assume that things are good, right? And I just told him how much we appreciate what he's doing, and he was like, you know what? I really needed to hear that today. You know, I was like, yes, sir. I said, our kids are safer from what you guys are doing. The community is safer. I said, I know stuff that's going on in this world right now is bizarre. I said, we're praying for you guys. And I referred to the Lord. I said, we're trusting God, believing God. I told him, hey, I read the end of the book. We know how this thing ends. And he just kind of shook his head and he goes, well, we're not at the end of the book yet. I was like, yes, sir, that is the truth. Amen. So what do? We stay in faith. We stay on the word, right? And with all the craziness that the devil, if you haven't noticed, the devil is just getting crazier. And because he has his eviction notice. And what does anybody do when they're crazy and has an eviction notice? They start pillaging and destroying on their way out. Like when you chop the head off a snake, it flops around for a while before it's dead, right? That's what we're seeing in the world. Amen? Somebody say, but God, right? His plan will prevail in this earth. And his church is here to occupy till he comes. We're not here to hide until he comes. Which I think there's a few Christians in the world that think we're supposed to hide until he comes. Hide the children and hide from the world and just be separate from the world. No, you're in the world. We're not of the world. The world needs godly people in places of authority. Amen. Right? The way he's attacked the family, the parents, children, nationalities, women, men, you know, there's just no end to his hatred. Israel, you know, America, Christians, right? And I heard something funny Donald Trump said this past week, because, you know, last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, Mr. Biden declared it, what did he call it, National Visibility of Transgender Day on Resurrection Sunday. He comes out with that. And just a blatant punch toward Christians, right? And so President Trump said something this past week. President Trump, in faith, right? Amen. Well, he is president. Once president, you're called president, right? But a lot of people are believing that that man is headed back to the White House. To some people, it drives them nuts to even imagine that could be possible. Right? But I love the man, I do. And I love Joe Biden, too. I pray for him. I pray for Kamala Harris. Mr. Johnson, Speaker Johnson needs our prayers right now. He's under a lot of pressure and made a bad decision with some, you know, the whole budget thing and all that. So we pray. These are human beings, is what we're saying. And it ain't over till it's over. But President Trump said in his speech, he said, let's make November 4th Christian Visibility Day. I was like, yes, sir, Mr. President. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our foundation text for this message is John 14:6. We just finished a series, and I believe we're starting a new one today. And I believe the title of it will be One Way. And if you can see, it's kind of a little bit washed out there because of our bright day. But I don't know where that is, but it reminds me of Hawaii. We were in, was it Oahu, the island? The main island where the airport is. And there's a lot of traffic, and mostly they're all going the same way. And we had a great time there. But you can see the sunlight in the background, and they're going toward the light. How many know Jesus is the light? And there's not any other options. If the destination desired is heaven and eternal life, there's not multiple choices. Amen? Like the world, the devil tries to make it sound like there's all these other choices. There's just so many ways to God. Don't be so narrow-minded. Well, I like the way Keith Moore says it. He goes, yes, we're narrow-minded and saved. Right? Narrow is the way that leads to the life. Wide is the pathway that leads to destruction. And it boggles the mind. I mean, it's really, we have to remember who the enemy is. It seems like people, we're hearing people. But the enemy's the devil. It's always been the devil. And I love how he sugars down his the way he words things. Like the other day, I heard somebody complimenting people who are becoming transvestites. Just call it what it is. For being courageous. Oh, you're just so courageous to just embrace that and be that. No, it is not courageous. It's deadly. Right? So he's a liar. And that's just obviously one of the blatant, obvious things. But there's so many other things where even Christians, could it be possible for even Christians to be deceived in thinking, you know what, maybe Jesus isn't the only way. Everybody, if you have your Bible, to say, this is the way, right? This is the Word of God. We walk in the Word. We stay with the Word. We stay with Jesus. No matter what pressure the devil tries to apply to make us try to think there's more truth than just the Word of God, there's not more truth. The Word of God is the truth. Amen? And we stay with it. John 14:6 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Somebody say, the way. The truth and the life, no one, now say that, no one, comes to the Father except through me. Now that's not a complicated statement. It might be tough to believe for some, But it's not complicated to understand. Even a child can understand this. Somebody say, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only one who hung on the cross for me. He's the only one that paid the price of my sins. But see, if the devil can even water down the sin concept. Oh, no, no, that's not a sin. That's not a sin. Come out of the old days. That's racist to say that. Right? No, no, that's not a sin. We have people now that will defend your right to be that. And Congress people and attorneys and that's not a crime. That person is suppressed. We just should have a talk with them and then turn them loose again out into the community. This is dangerous stuff. Amen. Glory to God. And so somebody say, stay with the truth. Stay with Jesus. And this whole year, we're talking about walking in the protection of God in our life. I got an email from Patty Murray this week, our senator. And I sent her an email months ago, and I had to remember what I even... But it was cool that she replied. And it was it was Dear Steve in a long, full-page thing. And we're talking about the defense of Israel. I think she's the one that blocked the funding to Israel. I heard this on Victory News and Flashpoint and KCM. So I sent her an email. I'm a Washington State resident. I sent her an email. Hello, Mrs. Murray. Please support Israel. Get them the funding they need to defend themselves. They're making the world safer, actually. By doing what they're doing, thank you. I forget exactly how I said it, but she sent me back a long letter and how, you know, wordy. I'm gonna respond because how nice of her to reply. Democrat, liberal. But she replied to me, and I'm gonna thank her for it. But there'll be some things that, you know, just hey, as a Washington State, you know, what do we call us, citizen? And an American citizen, here are some things just to sum up that are important to me. The security of Israel means a secure world. I want election integrity. I just heard the other now. It's sometimes you're in the forest, you don't see the trees. And Victory, I hear things from Victory News or Flashpoint about where I live that I didn't even know. And they said this the other day, that Oregon is that close to making it illegal to hunt and fish. The worship of nature, and let's get guns out of your hands. I mean, this is nutty stuff, right? So what do? We speak up. Mrs. Murray, thank you for your reply. I really appreciate it. As a Washington State citizen and a citizen of America, these are some things that I'll be thinking of in November. Right? And then you say it and thank them for their service. We're praying for you. Say those things. We're praying for you. Amen. Glory to God. Why get in their face and just write, speak in tongues and cast the devil out of them? That just adds fuel to their fire, man. See, that's the kind of person. Amen. But we stay with Jesus. We stay with the truth. Amen? Staying with Jesus is staying with the truth. Hallelujah. He is the truth, the way, one way. Somebody say, one way. There's a great song we used to sing in children's ministry. One way, Jesus. Be a good little Google search, right? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. And so what's the devil do in response to that? He questions even the existence of God then. Well, that's just old hat. That's a racist statement. I mean, he's so goofy, right? But we need to stay in touch also with prophetic emphasis. Amen? And there's a few ministries that I really enjoy hearing what they have to say prophetically. And one of them is, I didn't realize Rick Renner had a word for this year, but one of the things he says here is, he says, one of the purposes of prophecy is to wage a good warfare using the sure words of God that you receive from him, 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." So it's important for us to hear what prophetic words are being spoken regarding our nation and say that, believe that, stick with that. Because I'll tell you what, anything else is flat out discouraging. And that's exactly the devil's game plan. Discourage, discourage, discourage. It doesn't matter even if you vote. You can't fight it. Just hide till Jesus comes. Or embrace the philosophy. You don't want to offend the world, so just embrace their philosophy. That is evil stuff. How many know the church ought not be embracing the philosophies of the world? Right? We don't put the homosexual rainbow logo on the banner. Now, if anyone came in, and we have people without have been to church before. Amen. But we don't promote that agenda on the logo, communicating that lifestyle is cool with God, because it isn't. Any more than someone living with someone they're not married to would be sin. Right? So, but the doors are open for people to come in and hear about Jesus, right? But we wage a good warfare with these prophetic words, paying attention to what the Holy Spirit has prophetically spoken to us. That's what we wage a good warfare. And it's important to remember as the body of Christ that we're not warring against people. Our war is with the devil. I told it to one guy this couple weeks ago. We were having a coffee, and it's like, I'm not fighting against those people out there that are doing all this crazy stuff. We're fighting for the children, for one thing. If there's one reason to stay with Jesus and preach the truth and vote and be active, it's for the children, for goodness sakes, right? From the womb all through college, all the CRT stuff and transgender things they're pushing and all the nationality things they put in there to divide people. This is evil stuff they're pushing on children. Amen. Trafficking, all that stuff. We stand against those things, preaching the Word of God, voting, sending emails, going to meetings. There's a minister's meeting in Vancouver next week, I believe. For ministers in the area. I'm going to do my best to be there. I was there last year. And we pray together. We agree together, strategize. They've got a Christian attorney that comes and speaks. And it's just a great time to get together. Because there's a lot of churches that avoid this, the topic of politics, like the plague. But when it's about our children, when it's about children, you need to stand up. And speak up. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Kenneth Copeland said one part of his prophetic word was, "For those who will obey me and listen to my voice, I will keep and protect you throughout 2024. For those who will obey me, listen to my voice." We can't have God's protection if we don't follow his directions. Amen. That's why bad things happen to good people, because good people weren't listening to what God was saying to do. Amen? He recommended this morning, or last week at the Easter service, Resurrection Sunday service, excuse me. he recommended, especially for military, but I would say this for every Christian, we should memorize Psalm 91. Memorize it. Commit it to memory. Amen? And speak it over our families. Speak it over our nation. Speak it over the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Over the seven mountains of societal influence, right? Pastor Hank Kuhneman said this, another prophetic word. "You will see my anointing at a level that you have prayed, you have believed for, you have desired. I have come to bring great restoration and great reversal, and you will see as my anointing destroys these yokes that have thought they would be the future for you, for your nation, and for your children." Now see, these kind of words, I just want to latch on to them. and speak that in prayer times and stay with it. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 26, he said, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Right? These are last days kind of things. And that brings me to this eclipse that's going to be happening tomorrow. And there's been a lot of words about that and people afraid. And all. Somebody say there's no reason to be afraid or walk in fear of any kind. But these things are signs in the heavens. Now, as Christians, I don't really think, I mean, it's cool to see it, but it's not like that should be a aha moment. Those kind of signs, I believe, are for the world. That's, you know what? Maybe we're not as in control as we think we are. Right? And I'm going to show you a video here in just a moment from Flashpoint, but a little bit of a lengthier video. We'll wrap up with that. But the word eclipse, I looked it up, just the definition of it. And three words really popped off in terms of a definition that applies to what we're talking about. And the words are observation of light. Observation of light. I believe I'm saying that correct. And observation, obscuration. I missed the C there. Obscuration of light. When an eclipse happens, it goes, turns to darkness or whatever, right? Lunar or solar. But obscuration of light, family of God, is what we're seeing in the world. Right? And that word obscure means to make dark, to dim, to make it indistinct. Right? To conceal by confusing. Are we seeing any of this spiritually? I mean, even in the church. Right? To conceal by confusing. To make not clear, not plain. Right? Synonyms would mean things like darkening, concealment, decline, dimming, extinction, obliteration, shrouding, veiling, blurring, clouding, covering. Have you noticed any of that trying to come into the church, into the family of God, or being communicated about, I mean, just blatantly, about Christians, about God, about the Bible, obscuration of the light, making Jesus seem not quite so clear? Yeah, he's real, but he's not the only way. Not the only way. Yeah, he's real, but, there's all these other things that you might want to identify with, too. Right? It's spiritual eclipse. Amen. These are last days things. And an actual eclipse can be a reminder to us to stay with the light, to shine in dark places, to not grow dim, but to shine brighter. For the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To refuse to allow the devil to come in, right? And conceal, to create confusion. Isn't that what he's done? He is so good. He's a master of the art of creating confusion. And so as believers, we need to stick with the light. And that's the verse I wrote here in my notes. John 8:12 says, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Somebody say, I'm sticking with him. There was a bumper sticker a few years ago that said, "I'm with her," talking about Hillary Clinton, right? Somebody say, "I'm with him. I'm with him." And it's one way Jesus. I want to show you this clip right now. Can we get this dialed in, Lane? Thanks for your help with that. I'm not sure how much of it we'll get to. It's a little bit lengthier of a clip from Flashpoint, maybe 12 minutes long, and I just want you to, we'll see how it sounds, but I wanted to show you this.
All right, so Troy, I want to get to this next topic. Now, let me preface this. There's a lot of talk out there, ladies and gentlemen, about this eclipse that comes on April 8th. and you're going to get every type of concept, every theory. Some say, oh, you people are overreacting. Others will be like, go dig a hole and climb in it. There's a lot. So I don't have time to dig into this. This is where your research is going to have to help you. But I want to, Troy, you recently posted a video. You were on our friends with Daystar, and you had over 1 million people already, well over 1 million already watch it. So what does that tell you about where people in America are today?
Well, people are actually looking for answers because the word is out that this is a serious warning. And I mean, trucks are not being allowed to be able to drive, and like schools are being let out. The National Guard is being released. That's never happened before at an eclipse before, because there is a sobering agenda or a sobering word, man, that actually goes with this. And even ungodly people are picking this up. The church, however, even though we're late bloomers to this revelation, we have finally come into agreement that God does speak through the sun and the moon and the stars, as Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 21 that he would. And we're actually starting to see that these kinds of messages, you cannot deny them and you cannot ignore them. So you need to know what it is.
All right, so we're going to hit just some of the highlights of this, folks who are watching at home. I want you to do your own research and dig into the Bible yourself. And you quoted a great scripture in Luke 21. You also quoted Genesis 1:14. We talk a lot about heavens to denote seasons in the calendar and days or years, but you reminded us that the first thing mentioned is that the heavens will bring us is signs. For those that might not pay attention to all of that, why are these signs significant, and what denotes a sign?
So a sign is a prophetic declaration, and it literally spells something out for us. And so whenever in Genesis 1:14, as you just mentioned, on the fourth day that God created the material universe, he didn't create the sun and the moon and the stars for light. Remember, he already had light on the first, second, third day. It was already there. But rather, he created them for signs, seasons, days, and years. And the word season there, of course, is moedim, and it actually means prophetic appointment or the prophetic timing of things. So God uses the heavens as a supernatural timepiece to show us what we ought to do. It's always been like that, and the church is just now catching up with it, and I'm very, very grateful for it.
All right, so we all know, if we've paid attention at all, there was an eclipse in 2017 that went from the upper northwest to the southeast, and now we've got this one coming in. So kind of quickly run down, what is so significant about these two eclipses?
Well, thank you, sir. The idea, and we might make the mistake of thinking, hey, this happens all the time. This has happened 8 times in the United States. This next one will be the 8th time since 1776. And the last time that we had a full solar eclipse that went from one end of the nation to the other that only touched America was in fact in 1776, which of course is the year of the birth of our nation. So this is a national word. And whenever God speaks through the sun, through these eclipses, he's always talking to a nation. Okay, so it's like when God wants to speak a national word and get their attention in the heavens, he uses the sun to do that. The significance of these two eclipses is, number one, they are 7 years apart. And the first one, of course, happened on the first of Elul on the Hebrew calendar. And that means the month of repentance. And 40 days after the first day of Elul is Judgment Day. And so that's why it's the sign of Jonah the prophet, because on the first of Elul, way back 700 some odd years before King Jesus, there's the great Assyrian eclipse, and that was the day that Jonah walked into there. And so they knew exactly what the message was that they had 40 days to repent. So we see this happen, and then as this hour and 33 minute event took place, the totality of that shadow crossed 7 cities that was called Salem. And that speaks of 7 years of peace. Now, where it began was Salem, Oregon, as you can see, and where it ended was at Fort Sumter, which is where the Civil War began. So it ends where the Civil War begins. Wow. Now, 8 years later, which is going to be on the 8th of April, we have another eclipse that goes all the way across our nation, And it begins at Eagle Pass, Texas, and that was where the last Confederate general buried the last Confederate flag. That's called Shelby, and it's, you know, Shelby Park is on, you know, all the news today. Well, that's actually named after a Confederate general, a Confederate general called Shelby. And friends, this is where the Civil War actually ended. So the first one ended where the Civil War begins. The second one begins where this, where the Civil War ended. And then they both go all the way across the nation. And this one actually goes over seven cities called Nineveh. Now, it actually goes over an eighth one in Nova Scotia, Canada, but it begins with Jonah, Texas, and then it goes through Nineveh, Texas, and then it passes through seven cities that's actually called Nineveh. And it's like, what is that? It's the sign of Jonah the prophet that says, you need to repent. You have to repent. It's a word of repentance, no matter how you look at it. And the threat is actually civil war. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about that, but it speaks very clearly of civil war to me. Again, how where it begins and where it ends, both of them speak of civil war. Shelby Park is on the news every single day today, and it's about the difference between state rights and federal rights to be able to guard our state that is called Texas. They both cross over in the land of Lincoln. Right? All these things speak of our nation being split. And I think that this is a warning that God Almighty is speaking, saying, repent, get your act together, or the nation is going to be split apart.
All right. Let me ask you this, that I don't, I mean, because you, I know you hit the real highlights there as we went down the path. Why do you think, and I'm just, this is just your opinion, obviously, because you probably don't know, why are we seeing so many parks start to shut down? We see cities that are already proclaiming, you know, don't come to our city, stay home. It's ridiculous what people are saying. Well, there's going to be all these people there in Texas where one of the eclipses coming through south of Fredericksburg and Killeen. They're already declaring, you know, some emergency. It's like an eclipse just doesn't do that. I mean, we have gone through eclipses before. So why do you think we're seeing all of these people react? And I say these people, I'm saying government agencies, cities, counties, governments. Why are they reacting this way?
Well, this is the playbook of the globalists today, and it works like this. If we can declare that there is a crisis, then we can bring whatever sanctions and compliance that we demand. And I think that we're constantly having things piloted and test driven to us to see what the compliance is going to be. And of course, it's all in the name of peace and safety. But then, as the Word of God says, we all know that sudden destruction comes. So to be able to say, no, you know, this shadow is too scary for us, so we're going to have to bust out the National Guard. You're not allowed to go to parks. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to drive a truck. That, no one has ever seen anything like that happen before. But this is the new norm that we are faced with. And I think it's up to us if we're going to drink that Kool-Aid or not.
Yeah, I agree. Mark, let me bring you into the conversation here. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this like I have, all these people shutting city government down and telling people to stay home and get rations and, you know, store up 4 months of food and water. I mean, your first remembrance is of here we are at Y2K again. I mean, they're kind of that sort of fatalistic predictions. Why do you agree with Troy? What possible reasons would there be for this if it's just an eclipse passing by?
Yeah, I actually think it's nefarious. And the issue is that government is practicing over and over how to get us to respond in an obedient way when they want us to just stay home and shut down, not really communicate, not be out in public with each other. They did this on a large scale with us during the COVID panic. That was all manufactured. It's now been proven. And this is just another test of the same kind of system, in my opinion.
How about you, Pastor Hank? I mean, there are prophecies out there about people saying don't go outside on the 8th. Is that a overreaction? Do you think there's more to it? I just kind of want to get you to weigh in on the conversation here.
Well, again, I probably have a different perspective than maybe what a lot of people want to hear. I think what happens is God does give signs in the heavens and he gives wonders in the earth. There's blood, fire, vapor of smoke, Acts 2 says. So there will be sometimes natural things that happen. Some of that is the hand of the devil responding, wanting people to think that somehow it's always God that's doing those things. Then you see man getting involved for what you're talking about here to bring certain fear air control, as we should learn our lesson through Y2K. And then how about the blood moon craze, that those that wrote the books and perpetrated the blood moon, I'm not saying it wasn't legit with the sign, but let's face it, they made all the money while people were panicking and in fear. We have to remember something, no matter what sign God gives. As long as the Holy Spirit is in the earth, including the Antichrist, according to Scripture, is restrained by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as long as God's Spirit's in the earth, He always has a redemptive plan. That's why Luke 21, when it talks about the sun, the moon, and the stars, nations in perplexity, waves, you know, roaring, and He talks about men's heart failing for fear. He says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. In the same way, when we look at this eclipse, we have to understand it is about God's redemptive plan, because His Spirit is here in the earth. What's a redemptive plan? When God brings a warning, when God calls for something, it's always to bring a plan of help and plan of hope. People talk about Nineveh. They talk about Jonah. But you know what? There was a point when they repented in Nineveh, and Jonah didn't like the results, that his word was not received because the people repented. God changed his mind, and Nineveh had a second chance. I believe all these signs are pointing to that God is saying, America, I'm giving you another chance. It's no coincidence, April 8th, to Pentecost Sunday is 40 days, and I believe we're going to see a glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Last, I want to say this. People talk about repentance. What about the 2016? What about the 2020 nationwide repentance movements of some of the great leaders that hundreds of thousands gathered? Did that make a difference, God? Yes, it did. And if one man, Moses, could change the outcome and a destiny of a nation when they were corrupt and they deserved to be wiped out, one man, Moses, stood up and held God to His redemptive plan and to His covenant. And that's what this man is doing during this eclipse. You will remember, God, your covenant over this nation, and you will remember your redemptive plan, and you will show your goodness and mercy for the sake of this country and your glory and the harvest that's coming.
All right, so Troy, I'll let you follow up to that. I mean, what's the takeaway from this that people, I mean, because I talked to people, they're all over the board with this. Should they be concerned? Should they, what should they take from here? Is this a, obviously it's a chance to repent, those that haven't repented. But I wanted to get your take. Where's the hope in all of this?
Oh, listen, I'm not scared. I promise you this, I'm getting a front row seat to the greatest thing that's ever happened. And it's the voice of God being demonstrated today. And yes, my brother's right. There is a plan of redemption here. We are the only nation on the planet Earth that says, one nation under God. Amen. We don't want to be two different nations. We don't want to be three different nations. We want to be one nation, and that nation is real as long as Christ is ahead. This is an opportunity for us to come out of a burning house and into a safe place. We cry out as a people, and we have to believe, listen, if it can happen with Nineveh, it can happen with the United States. Nineveh was a wicked, wicked, wicked king and a very wicked government. And the Bible says, when the people repented, that soon the king himself repented, and then God actually turned and said, okay, I'm not going to be doing these things. So that is the plan. And we still have a powerful voice. We have to give hope. We need to be really good at giving people hope. And I'm saying that it is not the heart of Jesus for our nation to be split. I'm saying that the threat is real, that it's there, and we can repent and cry out and be the people that God Almighty has called us to be.
And I love the fact, one great thing about Y2K, it did make a lot of people stand up and go, maybe I need to get right with God. I know that wasn't the intent of it, but you know, there's been moments throughout history that make people turn back to God. And anytime we can get people turning back to God or turning to God for the first time, it's a great thing. And you know, I like what Kenneth Hagin said, the signs are to make you wonder. And so we're going to get some signs. It's going to be fun, you know, and we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows without a doubt. But I think it's phenomenally interesting how you've got all of these city names and, I mean, all the connect. Something's up there. Something's up. Okay. It's definitely worth watching.
Amen. So before I let you go, isn't that good, though? You know, I mean, our Heavenly Father is in charge, you know? And so I think the word that I would encourage us all to stay with on this, and this message series, One Way, Jesus. Let's lead the way to Jesus. I mean, how many know the church, by and large, needs to be the first to repent? We get so concerned, well, does that mean Joe Biden's going to hit his knees? He could. He could. Right? But God is more concerned with his own family. He mentioned Moses. Moses wasn't trying to get the Hittites saved and the Jebusites and all the Ites. He was just trying to get the children of Israel to be saved, right? To love God and obey his commandments. And so, as we close today, we can all stand up on our feet. Let's just make a commitment to be people. I'm not saying we walk around always feeling like we're an old sinner. No, no, no. But if there's anything, I guarantee you, if you're alive on this planet in flesh, there will be things that come into your life to try to obscure the light. And not just from you receiving it, but from you broadcasting it. And that's what we're going to take a stand against right now. The devil's not going to eclipse me, right? He's not going to dim the light that's shining out of me. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we commit to be people of light, not lasers that fry people, but the light of God, the light of your love, the light of your truth, the light of Jesus Christ, shining through us. And Father God, we refuse to allow anything consciously to come against us to block the light from our own lives. Anything that would come between you and me, Jesus, is my enemy. Anything that would come between you and our communion together, I believe, is first priority. Our communion with Jesus is priority one. Now, that does not mean that we have to spend 25 hours a day on our knees and in the Bible. That's not what we're saying here, right? I love how Keith Moore says it. He says, walk in the light that you have. Because I can tell you personally, there's been many times in my life where I have violated the light that I have. I knew that was wrong and I did it anyway. I knew that was wrong, but I said it anyway. And that creates callous over the heart over time. And it affects how useful I am to the Master, and it affects my communion with him, and that is the enemy. In the name of Jesus, no more. Somebody just say, Lord, make me sensitive to your voice. I will obey you. I will walk in the light that I have. I'm a person of your word, a person of faith, a person of truth, of purity. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will not walk around in fear and heaviness or strife. Hallelujah. I'm quick to forgive. I'm quick to repent. This does not mean we'll never need to repent, but I'll tell you what, when the light comes on that thing that I did or said, I repent now. Somebody say, I repent now. I turn to Jesus. And he says this, in turning to me regularly, you will turn many others to me as well. And you'll turn a nation to me. Glory to God. Glory to God. You'll turn your family to me. You'll turn your nation back to me. Oh, we thank you, Father, for your words to us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Love somebody this morning. Amen.